Blog Talk Radio.
So the song says, I'm thankful for the things that I went through. Because if I never had problems, God, I wouldn't know you like I do. Come on, so just tell somebody, say, I know him, I know him. I went through some stuff, I had to cry sometime, I know him. Come on, can you rock with us right here, Houston? Come on, Houston, slide! Song says, if I never had a stormy day.
If I never had a stormy day, then I wouldn't know that you could take my
heart away. Yeah. But then you brought me through, like you always do. For the things that I went through. Cause if I never had problems, y'all. Oh, if you know what I'm talking about, you all put them hands together and say, I wouldn't know you. Oh, that's right. Listen, we got one more verse, y'all. It says, if I never had a hungry day, a poor day. Come on, say it, find the same. That you can make a way out of no way.
If I never had a broken heart, torn apart, how would I know that you could
forgive
me?
All the hurt and pain,
all the hurt and pain, I'm
deep inside, deep inside, that I can still survive. That's why I'm
thankful
for the things that I went
through.
Cause if I never
had
a hate of Houston, oh, that's right. Y'all, and say, I wouldn't know you.
I wouldn't know you.
Oh, that's right. Now, if you know that your struggle makes you stronger, go be a witness. Lift your hands and say this,
I wouldn't know.
If they had lied on me, if they had talked about me,
I wouldn't know.
If they had laid me off, if they had walked out of my life, I wouldn't know you, God. That's right. Let's ask the church, Jesus,
my healer.
I know Jesus, because when I was sick,
you healed me.
Jesus, my provider. When the money went there, you just stepped in and
provided for me.
Jesus, say my Savior. I was on my way to hell, but God, I'm so glad. Jesus, somebody say my way maker. Medicine could help me. God, you heal me. Jesus, somebody say my provider. I was provided for my children, but God, you
provided.
Jesus, somebody say my Savior. You took the nails in your hands, and God just
saved.
Jesus, somebody say my way maker. I didn't know how I was gonna make it, but God, you made a way. Jesus. Tonight. Come on, for the name Jesus. Oh, that's right. Sing it up by your name, Jesus. Oh, that's right. I love him. His name. There's nobody like Jesus. Say, come on, Zakari. Oh,
you're listening to the Spirit Alive Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. We want to welcome you to Sister to Sister for this Wednesday, September the 9th, 2020. I'm your host, Bishop Shalene Cook, and I am here with my wonderful sister and co-host, Evangelist Michelle Scott. At the top of the program, you heard Brother James Fortune and Faya singing I Wouldn't Know You. And as always, we begin each and every word or each and every program with a word of prayer. So won't you please bow with me? O Most High, we come singing praises to your wonderful and holy name. Lord, we thank you for this time and we thank you for this season. Father God, we just thank you for the opportunity to go out over your airwaves, Lord, and to bless your people with the word. Father God, I pray that you pour into us as we pour into others, and that the men and women of God will be empowered and impacted to live a more abundant life in you. We just want to thank you, Father God, for what you're doing right now in this time and this season. And we give you all the honor and the glory and the praise in Jesus' mighty and holy name. Amen and amen. All right, saints of God, we're going to get right on down to business tonight. Tonight we have a very interesting program for you because we want to talk to you sisters and you brothers about how we can keep our brothers of color meaningful, active, and necessary, as our very own Pastor Lester Carver has said. So we want to talk about what we need to do, the situation about our young men and them being a vital part of the family unit, them being a vital part of the home. So what we're going to do tonight is we're going to go out to the, we're going to take it to the street, and we're going to first go out to our in-the-field reporter, Evangelist Michelle Scott. Amen.
Thank you, Bishop, and welcome to all of the listeners on tonight. We know that sometimes this topic can be very sensitive, so just sit back and enjoy, and you can comment after we're both done. Now, we know that sometimes we women and we men, we spend more time picking out a pair of shoes than we do picking out our mates. And we get our boyfriends, our girlfriends, and we immediately, you know, think we're in love, and we may have sexual relations, and then before you know it, we're with child. Well, we all know this is not how Heavenly Father wants it to happen. He wants us to be married and then have children, but sometimes this doesn't happen. Whether it happens when we're married or not, the black and brown man in the family unit is a very vital part to the family. I've often told my friends, and I've even told my three sons, that I can tell you and teach you what mommy wants in a man, but I cannot tell you and teach you rightfully how to be a man. That's dad's job. That's a man's job. It's always important to have either the father in the home, or if the father's not available for whatever reason, to have some type of male energy or a male figure in the home to instill that within the young men in the house, because the women will teach the girls the things necessary for her to know, and the men should be there to teach the young boys. Now, we all know as African-American and people of brown persuasion that there's different kind of challenges that face the man of color. Sometimes a man of color might face educational difficulties where he might not have went far in school. And so he might not be able to obtain the jobs necessary to sustain his family financially. He might feel sometimes as women, you know, we can demasculate the man and put him down, which should never be done. It sometimes is done when he's on his job. And when a man is faced with all of those things at work, when he comes home, his home should be his castle. He should at least be able to come home and be relaxed there. Sometimes when a man is feeling that he's not bringing in enough money to maintain the bills and still keep clothes on his children and his wife's back and food on the table, he might be persuaded to go out and do things unmentionable, sell drugs or to rob and steal, and these things would cause him to be incarcerated and taken away from his family, leaving his wife or the mother of his children a single parent, and now she has to raise these children. So we are now living in a society where no longer are people embarrassed because the woman becomes pregnant without a husband, or if the mother has several children and they have different fathers, or if he's incarcerated, or if he's selling drugs, or if he's the man that has fallen so on his luck, he's the neighborhood alcoholic. No longer are people embarrassed by these things. No longer is a boy considered an embarrassment if he tries to run away from being the father and is not married and is not tending and caring for his child. People has just gotten too used to these situations over the years. It's just become the norm. We have to get away from this. Even a police officer was killed in 2014 in New Jersey, and the news reporter in her report, she said, "Oh, America is contaminated in the inner cities, and the young black men that grow up without fathers, these are the things that they are just led to do." See, even the news reporters, they feel that our young black men are growing up without the father in the home, and so now they are just a statistic to just go out and just kill. They feel that it's just the norm, and it's not. It shouldn't be. We shouldn't allow this to just be a norm. The oppression and the absence of the black and the brown father in the home is very much real. We all know this, since this issue is a big obstacle that we, as in our race, we all see this in our communities, and we feel that it's important I feel that we need to get serious about this. We need to get it down in our spirits and do something about it. We need to form programs for these young black men, because not all of them feel that this is the life they want to live. Just because they may not be educated, that doesn't mean they don't want to get educated. So those of you that may be retired teachers, let's go out and try to administer some of your talent for free. Offer it up to them. If they don't know how to read, help them to read. Help them to fill out the application. If they don't know how, assist them. Help give them a hand up so that they can go out and feel good. It's nothing like getting that first paycheck and coming home because you know you earned it. No, it's not as much as getting that dope money, but the confidence you feel within yourself. I did this. And the proud children, the way your sons and daughters will look up to you, and the way your wife will just be glowing with happiness that you went out and you did it. You worked your sweat for that check. And she knows you're coming home safely. She's not going to worry about you getting shot on the corner. See, we got to keep our black and brown brothers in the house, raising generations and then teaching their sons so that their sons can raise their sons and we can keep the black and brown man alive. Don't you understand that we are becoming the extinct? We are the one that you're going to look around in a few years and there will be no more black and brown. The police are already saying we're killing ourselves. Now they're killing us. So momentarily, there will be no more us. And if the black and brown man is no more, we women cannot make any more black and brown children without the black and brown man. We need his seed in order to continue this cycle. So we have to encourage him. When you see that he's feeling down, encourage your man. Encourage your husband. Rub him on the back and tell him it's going to be okay. We need to just keep encouraging the fathers. We have too much poverty in our neighborhood. We have too many fathers just feeling so fed up that they just are numb and they walk out and they go to the bottle. We don't want them to go to the bottle. We don't want them to go to the drugs and the alcohol. We want them to go get a job. And we as the women, we have to continue to be the backbone and the foundation. And when he comes home, we'll have that meal ready and that bath water rant and his slippers there. And if you are one that have a job too, you guys can switch off. It's nothing wrong with taking care of each other. We as a black and brown community and people and a race, we have to learn to be healthy and take care of each other. We have to love each other. We have to teach our children to love each other and to love themselves. We have to teach them to keep their faces in their books and study so that they can get those good jobs. They are smart. Yes, sometimes teachers will try to discourage them, and a lot of those tests are not made for our children. They're not made for the black and brown child. We used to call them trick tests. So teach your child that anytime they feel discriminated against, they can challenge the school boards. You can challenge the school boards. Be there not just for your husbands, your fiancés. Be there for your young black boys and your daughters as well, but especially for your boys, because the teachers will turn them away so much faster because they think and they will tell them to their faces they won't be anything. They're not going anywhere. They're not going to go to college. They're not college material. The same thing they told these black men, your husbands. We need to keep them in the house, out of the jails, of the cemeteries. There's enough bodies in the cemetery. We need them back in the house, raising their young boys to be young men, productive men in society. They can be the next doctors and lawyers and preachers and teachers. They can be whatever they put their minds and hearts to. We have to love on them, pour into them. Whatever knowledge we have, we need to pour into these young black and brown men and then pour into their children. God bless you all. Thank you, Bishop.
Amen. All right. So that's what's going on out there in the streets. Hallelujah. Now, thanks to God, we all know, or we should know, that God has an order for the family. It is recorded in Ephesians chapter 5, starting about, I believe, the 22nd verse. The man is supposed to submit to God or Christ. The wife or the mother of that child should submit to that husband. And the children submit to those parents. The first problem I see today, ladies, is far too many of us are settling. I have actually heard Christian women say, I would rather have a piece of man than no man at all.
My God.
Now, that's a sad commentary for a woman who professes to have a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Christ Jesus. Sisters, many times, you know, you say you want a good man, but when God sends you a good man, because he might not look the way you want him to look, he might not have the kind of car that you want him to have, or he doesn't live in the kind of home that you want him to live in, you will bypass that godly man to run after someone with the nice car that wears the nice clothes. And you never think anything about that person's character. You never think about what kind of a relationship does that man have with God. Now, as my sister has said, our young people, for many reasons, problems in the home, lack of training, you know, they are getting out there and they're having children out of wedlock. Sisters, I'm talking to every woman of God that has children or is an aunt or is in Christian leadership. Instead of, you know, telling this young girl, you know, what a mistake she made and how her life is now ended, we need to be reaching out for that young mother as well as that young father. We need to now say to them, okay, the mistake is not the child. The mistake was when you sinned. But now that this child is here, we're going to walk with you and help you to become the best parent that you can be for these children. But instead of us coming to the rescue, we help to tear down. Oh, ain't that Sister So-and-so's boy? Oh, I knew he wasn't no good. Oh, I knew he wasn't that. You know, we're quick to call young African-American men thugs or dogs or no good. But have we ever stopped to think, did they grow up with their father in the house? Like my sister said, have they been taught how to be a man? Because if there's no man in the house to teach that young boy how to be a man, then the television will teach him, the internet will teach him, their peers will teach him, and it will probably all be wrong. Now, as I said earlier, we want our young men to be meaningful, active, and necessary. And I tell you the truth, what I heard Brother Pastor Lester Carver come out of his mouth with this over 4 or 5 years ago, it just blessed my soul. I said, that's right. That's exactly what a man should be. And since he is present on tonight, I'm going to let him talk to some of the sisters and the brothers and just share with us his thoughts, because as we spoke together earlier this morning, we were about to have church right on the phone. So at this time, I'm going to go ahead and ask Brother Carver to come forth, because, see, when you've got the article in the house, you don't have to say what he said. You let him tell him yourself. So, Pastor Carver, come on in the house.
Praise the Lord, Bishop Cook. How are you, woman of God?
I'm blessed, man of God.
Wonderful, wonderful. I'll tell you, I was excited when I heard that you all were teaching about the need to have men in the house, because that is a reality. And there's a reason why we don't have men in the house anymore. It goes all the way back to like the 60s.
Yes, amen.
A time when people were just doing what they wanted to do. And it was really the result of war. We lost so many men, and this is not just African Americans, this is the United States. We lost a lot of men.
Amen.
And women started making their own money because they were doing the jobs that the men were not doing when they were off to war. And when the men came back, things changed. And then when you add drugs to that and alcohol to that, and, you know, just the traditions of the church and everything else going out the window, it adds to chaos. And it created a void. It created a void in our families, in our family unit, where people said, well, goodness, I don't need a man to do this, because people see that if a man is bringing home a check, that's all you needed. Back then, they only gave good-paying jobs to the men for the most part. And the wars changed that, right? And so,
right.
You know, I think what we have to do is, one, ask ourselves, what is it we're trying to achieve as people?
Right.
And in the world, it says that we're looking for fortune and fame. We're looking for money and acceptance of people. But in the body of Christ, we know what we're looking for is freedom and respect. What I see today is a pattern where you have a lot of who are raised by women because the fathers were not in the house, and this is black, white, or otherwise, because the divorce rate in the nation across the board is 50%. It's greater than 50%. And that means you have a lot of households without men in them. The problem that you have when you have a woman raising boys to be men is women say, if I had the power of a man, I would use that power, all of it. And that's why God didn't give that power to a woman. He gave the power of a man to a man. And it's the job of a man to teach boys restraint, because a man has enough power to accidentally kill somebody with his own hands, right? And if a man doesn't teach a boy how to restrain the power that he naturally has, what happens is he ends up getting raised by a woman who tells him to use all the power he has without restraint, because that's what
right.
she would do if she had his power. And when you look at these out-of-control man boys in the world, they were raised by women. You're looking at a man with the programming, teaching, and tutelage of a woman. He's trying to operate in the world like a man, like a woman. And why it's important to have a man in the house is that a man teaches a boy how to use restraint. And we know that one of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, self-control. Well, it's especially necessary for a boy who's going to be a young man, who's going to be a man someday, to learn self-control and restraint, or else he's going to be behaving like a woman. He's going to be a man with the power of a man, with the lack of restraint of a woman. And that is a dangerous combination. That's how people get killed. And so if you understand the importance of the covering of a man in the house, I'd like to go to the scripture in 1 Corinthians. I believe it's – goodness gracious, I'm going to quote it wrong. But it says the head of Christ is – the head of every man is Christ. The head of every woman is man. And the head of Christ is God. And basically what it's saying is, he who needs no covering, God covers Christ. Christ covers man. Man covers woman. And all of the children are covered by those multiple layers of covering above, right? That's God's design.
Right.
That's God's order. And when men submit in humility as our master in covering, then the woman that we cover is secure. And the children that she covers are secure. And we know that Christ's position isn't going to change, because God isn't going anywhere who covers him.
Exactly.
And when we know how God has designed this thing, then we can be in that place of security. But the chaos mm-hmm. that's going on out here in the world is people rejecting the structure and order and design of God. He's made
mm-hmm.
claim in his word. He hasn't seen, we can't claim ignorance. Back a long time ago, they didn't let common people own Bibles. You couldn't afford to have a Bible written for you before the printing press, right? And after the printing press, it took some time to catch up where everybody had a Bible. But now we all have access to any translation of the Bible that we want on our phone. There are no excuses. And
mm-hmm.
so we have to study so that we can see how God is trying to get us freedom and respect. The other thing God wants for us is to live a more than abundant life, mentally,
That's
physically,
right.
spiritually, emotionally, and financially. That is the more than abundant life to us. And we get God a lot of glory when we walk in that, but we have to humble ourselves. And when I was
mm-hmm.
talking about teaching men, teaching boys restraint, It's humility that is the difference between a boy and a man, between a man, a good man, and a man who's a fool that is spoken of in Proverbs. And when we raise teenagers, have them read the proverb for the day. There are 31 chapters in Proverbs. When I was a teenager, I was directed to read the chapter for the day in Proverbs, right? We got to get our young men and women in the Word. And then when you know your place, when you know God's design, when you know His plan for you is good, you can be confident in how you function in the world.
Yeah,
but right
come
now,
on.
A whole lot of insecurity. So I just want to really, I want to, one, congratulate you guys on having a great program. I agree with all of the comments that that wonderful minister had to say earlier tonight. And I'm glad
Amen.
That you're going to speak on your show.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Carver. You can hear all. I want you all to, God bless you, Pastor Carver. You can hear Pastor Carver every Tuesday night at 8 o'clock Pacific time, 10 o'clock Central, and 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Right now, he is in the middle of an awesome study. Because he is coming forth with racism within the body of Christ. And he has been teaching a series of lessons on how we are to deal with that. And it's very, if you have not been listening to his studies, please, on Tuesday evenings, listen or go back and listen to them whenever you can, because they have been very insightful, and I have just really been enjoying his teachings. And I just believe that we need our men to step up, ladies, and we need to let them step up. I like what you said about Evangelist Michelle about, you know, some women going back to the time Pastor Carver said, you know, women got all independent. I can be bad. You know, I can do it for myself. I can pay my own bills. I can do this. I can do that. And, you know, so a lot of times we help the powers that be do our own menfolk in.
Mm-hmm.
We should want our men to be men. We should want our men to be present, active, you know, meaningful in our homes. We should not try to do it all. So many women today, because we do have, you know, we can work, and a lot of times now, because, you know, women are going to school and, you know, we're getting our degrees and we're doing it for ourselves. But again, that's not the way the Lord has designed it. Some of us, you know, we want to have a baby by ourselves. We don't need no man. We just need a sperm donor. We want to have a baby by ourselves.
Amen.
That's not God's plan either.
Amen.
You know, we have to take responsibility and accountability for our part. Yes, men have been missing from the homes, but we have to be take a responsibility and accountability for our part. So, are we truly submitting to our covering, Jesus, husband, fiance? You know, are we truly walking according to the way the Lord has designed the family unit? We need to get more men to step up, sisters. We need, and if we don't, like my sister said, if there is not a man in your house, then you need yourself to find a brother, a deacon, a pastor, somebody that you can really trust to, and ask them to mentor your son.
Amen.
Brothers, if you are a deacon, a pastor, an uncle, a family friend, shouldn't nobody have to ask you to mentor? You should just do it. You should just be there. Women, we have got to get out of our feelings. You know, the minute a man does something that we don't like, do we pray about it? No. The first thing a lot of us want to do is fuss and complain and murmur and talk, walk around slamming doors and talking under our breath. And then say, well, Lord, I didn't sin because I didn't lose it. Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
See, when something arises in your home, the first thing that you ought to do is go together and pray.
Hallelujah.
To be praying for the family unit. The enemy is trying to destroy the family unit because the family is the closest thing that we have to the church. We are one body in Christ. We are a family in Christ. The family unit is designed for strength. Our strength is in our unity. So when we are constantly at one another's throat, if we are constantly trying to out scripture one another, or we're constantly beating each other up with the scriptures, that's not being godly.
Amen.
But when you sit down and you have a discussion and you pray together, and then you pray over those children, you know, and you pray about how to raise those children together, and you work things out instead of just popping off. Now, I know COVID-19 has a lot of people, you know, or just, you know, biting their nails and just on edge, and people are tense and tight, and, you know, we have to stay cooped up in the houses together, and, you know, the kids are getting on our nerves, our spouses might be getting on our nerves, but this is not the time to lose it. This is the time that we pull together. This is the time that we come together and we pray and we train. You know, we've got too many people, Christians especially, that want to pass the buck. You know, oh, but they got a mama, let them tell them. They got a daddy, let them tell them. How you know? You've never been to their house. You don't know what they have in their home. But we pass the buck and we say, you know, let somebody else take care of this. When are we going to take responsibility for ourselves? When are we all going to take accountability for the things that we do? Sisters, we do some foul and say some foul things.
Amen.
And I'm talking about women in the church.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Oh, we can get really on our high horses sometimes. Brothers, you can be really out of control sometimes, and it might still be easier to just throw your hands up and walk away. But don't you know that's what the enemy wants you to do? He wants you to walk away because he knows that you're the link between Jesus and now those women and children. So if he can take you out, if he can get you out the house, then there's a better chance that those kids will grow up out of control.
Amen.
You know, start running around having kids out of wedlock, men, boys and girls. You know,
yep.
Put them out there in danger's way. You know, I'm just going to leave home. You know, Because like Pastor Lester said, a mother is trying to teach a child with a young man, a young boy, how to become a man, and she doesn't have the right equipment. She doesn't have the right makeup. You know, she's just saying, well, I'm going to get mine because I've been pushed over, looked over, passed over, you know, walked over. So don't let nobody walk all over you, son. Well, that doesn't make you a man, you know. Don't let these little hoochie mamas tell you about your kids. Well, maybe you should have been telling your son, father, about having children does not make you a man. You know, our priorities, our children, our young people, they've been, you know, they're being bamboozled. You know, like Sister said, they're not even embarrassed no more. You know, I'm grown. Well, what does that mean? I've got three kids. Well, you have three kids, but that doesn't necessarily make you grown.
Hallelujah.
You know, just because you got four babies, mama, does not make you a man. And that's what we need to be telling our children instead of letting the internet raise our kids. Letting the television raise our kids, letting the peers raise our kids. Because, like we've been saying, this world is out of order. We need to bring it back in order by the way we live our lives. We need to demonstrate for our younger generations what it's like to have a love-filled, faithful marriage. You know, young people today, they get married, and they get married talking about a prenup. Now, they get married preparing for divorce. Huh? Everything, easy come, easy go. It doesn't really matter, you know. But there's lives hanging in the balance. There's souls hanging in the balance. So we need to do all that we can. I think that, you know, churches do not, they no longer have classes to teach young women how to be virtuous women and young men how to be men of valor. We don't have enough, you know, the young people now look at older people as old and out of date, like they don't know anything. You know, respect for our elders is all but, you know, non-existent. We need to go back to some of the old landmarks. We need to get back to the praying and get back to the training and get back to the studying and get back to knowing where our children are and get back to just knowing who God, what God expects of us. You know, this world got everything so twisted, it all seems upside down and backwards because it is. You cannot expect a young man who has historically, systematically been put down, been passed over, and for all intents and purposes have been set up to fail. This goes back to slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Men were sold away from their families. Wives and children were removed. So we have this history. We have this fragmentation of us as a people anyway. So, like, you know, so now what we need to do is unify. We need to come together, men and women, and we need to help these young people to truly grow into responsible, God-fearing adults. But we have too many adults that just think their children are going to get it by osmosis. You know, oh, it'll work itself out. This world is too dangerous. It's too evil for you to just throw it up to the wind and say, oh, it'll work itself out. Because if you continue to do that, the enemy will take your young man, take your young daughter out. So we need to be doing all we can as adults to show our solidarity, our unity. We need to be showing these children a more excellent way. And far too many of us we're not doing that. Even as Christians, we're not doing that. So I'm going to open up the line right now and let any of you that would like to have a word, get on in, agree, disagree. Hey, now is your time. All you have to do is press your one, and that will let me know that you want to add your voice to this conversation. I will address you by your area code and the last four digits of the phone number. All right, 925-1722. Come on in the room.
Hello?
Yes, good evening.
Okay. How are you? This is Bishop
I'm
Cook.
Blessed.
Thank you once again for you and Evangelist Scott having such a nice topic. I'm kind of doing two things at one time because I have another meeting on the other side, but I just wanted to say I enjoyed the conversation, and especially as a parent and educator, I really appreciate the fact that the two of you are so supportive of black men.
Yeah.
It's been my whole life journey of trying to make life better for young people, and I've put a lot of work into all races and all genders, but especially black men, because we do have many, many challenges. And I just wanted to add, even when there's disappointment and things don't work out the way we want them to, sometimes we have dreams and goals and your life don't work out the way we want it to, but you know, God is still possible.
Yeah,
and God,
say that.
God can still take what is not working out the way you want and still make a flower out of something that's not good. So I just wanted to add that, because I think what happens is that we have a standard set by the Lord and the Bible, and then we sometimes have disappointment that comes, that sometimes if we're not careful, go away from the standard. And I just want the listening audience to know that even when we make our greatest efforts and we fail, that God is still there. He's still
yes, he
there,
is.
And
so
it doesn't change the standard. It just means we have to go back to the drawing board, but always
right.
know and always know that God is still there. You know, and so because God is the healer of disappointments, God is the healer of our pain. Only God can truly heal. Lord knows I've had enough pain and disappointment to understand that God is really the only one who can really help us. But we need one another too, because temporarily
yes.
each one of us can help sharpen the emotional disappointment of one. So I want to thank you as well as the Reverend who spoke and Miss Michelle for always just being such a support to men of color. Because as a
Amen.
Man of color, we don't get that too often. You know, you hear
Amen.
A lot of problems and complaints. So I wanted you to know that from my heart to yours, I love you. And
we love you
I'm
too.
Just... All right. God bless you.
Love you.
As you know this. We love you. That's our brother. He's my younger brother, her older brother, Sylvester Carl Henderson.
That's right.
Dr. Sylvester Carl Henderson. Yes, I would tell you with no shame, yes, I keep it in the family. Hallelujah.
That's right. That's right.
Yes, I keep it all in the family. All in the family is more than a TV show for me. Is you know, Dr. Henderson is a fine educator. He is a fine example of what a mentor should be. This young man that you are listening to, he is one of the finest clinicians the world has ever seen. But he cares about people on a personal level. It's more than just about the music for him. He wants to see our young black and brown men grow and reach their full potential. And so I thank you, Dr. Henderson, because you have been an advocate for, you know, black and brown men for many, 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 many years. And we're just, you know, and I agree with you. We're always telling the black man what he's not doing. When is somebody going to tell him what he's doing right? Because I know they could sure use it. You know,
and
so I want
to
just thank
that,
you.
Just that I want to just make sure we still give the message that, because even not just black men, but human beings, we
mm-hmm.
pray, and sometimes we do everything that we think is right, and still Satan comes
it
in.
It don't come out right.
and it doesn't, and it seems as though, why did I do all of this? And you're disappointed. But you know what? Even with that, even with the greatest disappointment in life, God is still the healer, and he has all the promise and the hope. And so sometimes
yes,
our mission
does.
May be to have challenges so that we can help others to understand how to avoid. I was talking to a young man last night, very late at night, that I was really concerned about, and I shared with Reverend Scott. And I was so grateful that I was able to share some gems of considerations for him. And he texted me this morning and said, he calls me Unc. He said, Unc, I am so glad that you spent time with me, because it helped me to stay out of this pitfall that he was
Amen.
Definitely going for. And that's what we need. We need to sharpen one another. But, you know, I'm not
yes.
going to talk too much, because, you know, I could talk, and officially I'm listening to another. I'm in a meeting. But I wanted
to
just come on and just let you know I love both of you to death. And I sure thank
you,
God,
Sylvester.
For Sister Scott, and I especially thank God for my sister, Bishop Cook, because I tell people all the time, she has the finest open heart that God has ever given any human being.
Oh, God bless
you.
You
know, so
you,
I love all of you, and I appreciate
we
you.
Love
God
you.
Bless you.
God bless you. Yeah, man,
all right,
show
then.
Now.
God bless.
All right, God bless. All right, Pastor Scott, you need to come on, and now after that, you need to come on in the room, brother.
I am here and just listening and soaking up all of this, because this is something not only for our ears and for the listeners' ears, this is something that has to be brought back up outside of this, so we need to take this message today that we've heard, all of the comments and everything, and bring it outside of this as well, you know, because
yeah.
other people that may not know about the station need to hear this, because it's so necessary today that starting from what Evangelist Michelle Scott was saying, you know, my wife, and I appreciate everything that you're saying, because you truly live what you're saying when it comes to supporting your husband, supporting and training your children up in the way that they should go. And I just want to publicly say I thank you for that. I really want to thank you for that. You know, and I love you. I appreciate it. I thank God for you. And Bishop Cook, you know, when you were talking about the Ephesians, you know, Ephesians chapter 5, that just set everything up, you know, as
yeah.
far as the way things should go, because, you know, first there's God, you know, and there's Jesus Christ, but then there's man, and there's woman and the children. And so what it is that we're all supposed to be doing what God
something
to do, you know.
Amen.
And we all have a part that we play, you know, and we all have our role. And so
yeah.
the thing is that we're supposed to be able to be supportive to one another in the way that God has called us to be. And like there used to be a commercial that came on TV, and it just came on my it used to say it was a lady and she was singing. She said, I can bring home a bacon and fry it up in a pan and never, never let you forget you're a man. Now,
amen.
I know the last part was supposed to be a seductive punchline or whatever, but if you think about it, out of all the things that she was able to do, she was still saying she wanted the man to have his place where he's supposed to be. Never let
let a man be a man.
Oh,
man.
You know,
Hallelujah.
But you just keep remembering that God has you, and whatever you do for the name of the Lord. You, in other words, I'm going to support you, and I know that you're going to cover me because you have God covering you.
Amen.
We have to look at that, and then Pastor Carver. Oh man, he
broke it down.
He broke it down, and it was, you know, the way he broke it down as far as the young boys being raised by women, and then the women teaching them what they can, because only what they know, and how they view the struggles or the oppositions that they have to go through, they're going to teach how they made it through.
Yeah. You know?
And it's always been, like he was saying, you know, women had to work twice as hard as the man,
mm-hmm.
because the man has a certain amount of power. And if the man doesn't harness that power or basically have it in its humble state, then he can do some harm. So he has to know how to hold back, how to let go and let God work instead of just going off the helm and doing anything that he feels like he wants to
do.
Mm-hmm. You know, and so that was a big major point, you know, that was a major point. And then with my brother, the rest are just getting on the line and his comments, just allowing people to know that God is still there no matter what's happening.
No matter what
you've gone through, and you've tried to do the best you could, and you had the best intentions, and you've done everything that you felt that you could do the right way, but things didn't turn out the way that you want them to turn out or that you
turn out.
Mm-hmm. But see, the thing about that is that when things don't work out the way that we wanted them to work out, but we put our all into it and we prayed about it and we've done what God has told us to do, we have to know that
we're good.
Because that was God's plan in the first place. And like maybe we need those struggles. Maybe we need those oppositions, not just for ourselves, but to help somebody else who may be going
through
something or getting ready.
Say
to
that.
Amen.
So, there's
so much that could be said with this, but I don't want to take up too much time. And I really...
You find that.
I guess I may have to take this up on Friday a little more.
Handle your business then. Hallelujah. I'm going to bring Mother Mattie on in because, you know, we got to hear a word from Mother Mattie. Good evening, Mother Mattie. Where's she at? All right, well, in the meantime and in between time, area code 510, last four digits, 9861. Welcome to the broadcast. All right. Well, praise the Lord, saints of God. We have been having a wonderful discussion here on tonight. I just praise God for all the speakers, all the comments, because they were on point. I want to especially thank you, Evangelist Michelle, and Pastor Lester Carver, because he told the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And ladies, Dr. Carver was not trying to be disparaging in any way toward women. What he was saying is that, you know, we can only teach what we have in us. You can't give away something that you don't have within you.
Amen.
And you know, a lot of women, when things don't go well, we tend to be more emotional. We tend to be, you know, we will, as they say, we will snap. Sometimes, you know, we will get in our feelings, and you know, that's not a good thing for a man. You know, he must have restraint. He must, and the Lord, and when we play our roles, when we walk in the roles that God has given us, it all works together for the family good. See, sisters, the Lord tells us to submit to our husbands. He's not saying that our husbands are to lord over us or to misuse us or to mistreat us. That's not what he's saying.
Amen.
Ladies, don't you know that God will use our example to our husbands to draw our husbands closer to himself?
Amen.
See, as the man sees us submit to him, he better understands how to submit to God.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? We have a role to play. If a woman doesn't have to worry about her security because, as Dr. Carver has said, you know, she knows God's got her man and her man's got her, then she's not always angry or worried or fretful. She's secure. And ladies, have you ever noticed that the Proverbs 31 woman, she did it all. She took care of her household. She went out and made her own money. She did all, you know, she wasn't a sit at home, I'm going to do nothing but do what I'm told kind of a woman. She handled her business. And her husband still stood in the gates. He said, That's my wife right there. You know, because you can. When you are in Christ Jesus, he will help you to work together however you have to work it out. If one has to pick up the kids on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and the other one has to pick them up on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, whatever has to be done, you are going to be willing to work together. And ladies, let me tell you another thing. We love to run down to the church house. Let me tell you something about running down to the church house every time the door is open.
See?
The Lord said they'll do all things in moderation.
See?
And see, while you running down to the church house, and a lot of times when we're running down to the church house, it's not to serve the Lord, it's to be nosy. So every time the church door is open, you want to be at church. Husband come home from work. No plate. Nothing in the microwave. He smelled. No food in the microwave, no food in the oven, no food on the stove. Next thing you know, Sister Sarah next door, here she come. Nice hot plate. Good food. You know, you at church. Your kids at home running all over the neighborhood. Miss Sarah next door is winking and blinking at your husband, and then you wonder why that man is now next door. You've got to take care of your business.
Come on.
You cannot be running around, be up at the church every day and let your home go to seed. You have to have balance. You have to have balance. You have to have a balance. You can't just be, you know, you at the church house every time the door is open, but yet your family it's growing cold and distant, and you wonder when you come back in the house why everybody's looking the way they're looking. Well, that's because mom isn't in her place. You know, I'm not saying don't go to choir rehearsal or don't go to Bible study or, you know, I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that some of us so-called Christian women love to be up in the church, and it has nothing to do with serving God. You go to your committee meetings and you sit around and you murmur and complain and talk about the other auxiliaries. You do everything but glorify God. And it's costing you your family. You know. So we really need to take a good long look at ourselves, ladies, and know that we are in the position that God has told us. That we make sure that we're in our lane. And stop trying to be in everybody else's lane. You know, and Michelle, I do have the utmost respect for you. I have the utmost respect for Jeffrey. I have the utmost respect for Sylvester Henderson. And I have the utmost respect for Lester Carver. Why? Because I have watched all of you train up your children. You're loving to your spouses. You know? Your hearts are turned toward each other. Hallelujah. And that's a beautiful thing to watch in action. When you see one of God's power couples, you know, and they're working together, and you can see their children are successful and they're doing things. When you see it like that, I can almost guarantee you they are children of two parents that truly love the Lord, and they're working at their marriage, they're working at their relationship, they want what's best for their children, they want their children to have a two-parent home, and that's what they're going to do, because that's God's design for the family. We've got to support our black men, we got to support men, period. You know, they have a hard road to hoe sometimes, and pressures and things that they have to deal with that we might not even think about because we're women, you know. So I just pray to God that you have truly enjoyed the program on tonight. I praise God for all of you. I'm just going to check one more time with area code 510. Last four digits, 9861. Did you have a comment or a question, dear?
So I just, first of all, I want to speak to you. Hi, Bishop Cook, Evangelist.
Hi, Mother
Maggie. And everyone, I was out. I had to run an errand, had to go to the store. I was rushing home, listening to the program while on the bus, just walked in the door. But, God bless you all, because you all bring very good points, and you're right. Some people are nosy. They want to know what's going on in the church. They want to gossip. It's not about gossip. Do what you can for the church. Do what you can for God and for God's house. But when it comes to gossip and being nosy, I agree. No, you're not supposed to do that. You have to take care of your family as well. And I know the Scott family, they take care of their children and their family. They are very good role models, and that's what we need, good role models, good parents.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed the program, as always. I always enjoy the program. God bless you all.
God bless you, Mother Mattie. We love you, ma'am. I just love her.
I think
she is just so phenomenal. I do. I just love you, Mother Mattie. Hallelujah.
I love you, too.
I thank God. I just, you know, to be honest, I don't know. It behooves me why pastors everywhere wouldn't want this feeling that I have, because I truly love the people that God has sent to walk with me. And you're such awesome people. You're such loving, godly people. And I just, you know, I could never, ever think of not allowing all of us to come together and help to teach, you know, because it's in the touching and agreeing that people will know, you know, this isn't just one person saying this or, you know, all of us base our thoughts and our principles on the Word of God. Two, we walk together. We don't care who gets the credit as long as God gets the glory. So we just want you to get it. We want you to know and understand that, you know, we love you, and our only purpose is to bring to you something that can help you live a more abundant life in Christ, because we have way too many preachers preaching and saying nothing. We don't have enough servant leaders that will get down to the nitty-gritty where the rubber meets the road and tell people how it T-I-T is. But here at Spirit Alive, that is not the case. And I praise God for each and every one of you. I want to thank God for all of you that are here. And this time you may not have wanted to make a comment, but we're just glad that you're here, listening and absorbing and taking it in. But we pray that you do share what you hear with others. And we pray that you will begin to support our young people, help them out, that you will begin to really think about the family unit and what we all can do to support these young families. You know, when we see a young married couple, you know, hey, sometimes they might have a little one underfoot. Maybe you can, you know, offer to watch their child while they go, you know, they can't really go anywhere right now, but maybe it might be just as simple as them running to the store to get more supplies or you know, you're out and you think about something that they might need, you get it for them or whatever. There are ways. We need to just be thinking of more ways that we can help show our support to these young families so that they can stay together. We need to train up our young ladies on how to be virtuous young women. We need to train up our young men how to be young men. And I'm really challenging all you deacons, especially because there's been too many times when after church that I've seen the deacons all dressed up in their suits, and they'll walk right past a group of young men on the street corner, and they won't open their mouths to say one word. That's not what our Lord and Savior expects of his godly men.
Amen.
You know, we sometimes, I'm just going to tell some of you men, sometimes women are stepping up because you won't do it. And that should also never be the case. Every man should be standing in his place. Every woman needs to be standing in her place so that they can protect their children, so that they can help nurture and raise their children in a godly manner where the enemy will not be able to sift them as wheat. He is trying to take out our young people, because they are indeed our future. So if he gets a lot of them out there, you know, they having babies young, and, you know, the next thing you know, when babies have babies, they can't handle it. So the next thing you know, ooh, I need a drink. This child getting on my nerves. I need a drink. Ooh, let me smoke a joint. These kids is getting on my nerves. See, so it's a vicious cycle. But there's a commercial on TV that I've seen, and it's a commercial about cancer. and the parent is standing in front of the child saying, "Not my child." That's what we need to be doing. Satan, you cannot have my child. Now, we can be the best parents we want to be and can be, and sometimes, you know, God gives us all free will choice, including our children. They might not always make the decisions that we would have prayed that they would have made, or, you know, accidents really can happen, what have you. But don't give up on our young people. Don't give up on our young brothers. Support them. Help them to find something that they can be proud of. You know, a lot of these young men today, they like rap. They like to rap. Well, they can rap for Jesus just as well as they can rap for the world. You know, encourage their dreams. You know, support what they want to do. There's all kind of ways to get the job done. Even if you know, I can't afford to be doing all this extracurricular stuff. Well, you know, do a little work. Find organizations that can help you to help them. Do what you can. But I know one thing, we got to do more. So, as I've said, I'd like to just thank everybody once again for listening. I just pray that we keep our family units intact, and it doesn't matter what color you are, because the devil does not care. He's an equal opportunist. But we need to keep our men in the home. We need to create an atmosphere where they can thrive. Because when our young men thrive, our young women thrive. When our husbands thrive, we thrive. So we just pray that you continue to be blessed in all that you do. You acknowledge Christ in all things. And from our household to yours, it is our fervent prayer that each and every one of you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you from all of us here at Sister to Sister. Good night. God bless you. Love you.
Amen.
Love you too. God bless you.